pay close heed to my every word.
Empty house.
So hold my hand, I'll walk with you, my dear.
The stairs creak as you sleep, it's keeping me awake.
It's the house telling you to close your eyes.
And some days I can't even trust myself.
It's killing me to see you this way.
'Cause though the truth may bury this, ship will carry on.
You're listening to League Podcast, episode 351. I'm Matt Durston.
I'm Clay Inferno.
Well, here we are, 351. Thanks to anyone who listened or watched 350. That was a very cool experiment for us.
It was super fun. It would have been better if we could have all transported John up to where we were, too.
Right.
But it actually did work out, so we could have someone still remote and some people live in the studio. So now we know we can do that. The technology is available.
Yeah, it is available. We didn't even plan on doing the video. That was a total last-minute thing.
And you know what? I'll get technical here. I almost wish I had just downloaded the audio from the Facebook live video just from the camera on the Facebook Live. That might have sounded better than the one we put out.
Really?
But
yeah, I guess right.
But I didn't know, like, when I had just had a laptop set up across the room, I was like, I bet the audio is gonna suck, like you'll hardly be able to hear it, but you could hear everything perfectly.
My only regret is that I looked kind of fat.
Oh, definitely. Well, I'm there with you on that.
You're hidden. You were kind of hidden. No.
There's plenty of me walking around.
All right. You can see.
I mean, you know, we're ordinary, right?
We are ordinary. Plus, we had just scarfed down a lot of pizza.
I thought you looked great and that I looked fat in comparison to you. So I think we're good.
I don't know. And I'm sitting, like, you know what I mean? I'm kind of sitting. I slouch.
But dude, did you ever see like any like sports radio talk show guys like when they have the video camera in their thing, you know, like they're all a bunch of schlubs. At least we're trying to be awesome.
I love the old, like if you go like the old school sports, they're always like smoking cigars and stuff. We should have been doing that. That would have been great.
Yeah.
What do you think of that Larry Bird?
Talking about boxing. There was a big Murphy's boxing thing at the Garden last night.
Nice.
But talking about boxing and smoking cigars.
Yeah.
That's what we should get into. That's season two. It's when we're really old men.
Season two.
We start like smoking cigars. We have to start there, I think.
Yeah. I used to smoke cheap cigars. It was terrible. But I thought it was a cool looking thing to do. Like a cool thing.
Tobacco looks cool. Is it cool?
Yeah. I know. That should be the slogan. And it does. I wish. You know, you know. I remember watching Mad Men, thinking like, "Wow, those guys look so cool." You know, like, but I wish it wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
But it is. It's terrible.
I smoked for like 10 years, and then I quit.
And there you go.
You don't even realize like how much of a hindrance it is when you do it, and it doesn't like do anything. It doesn't get you high or anything. You know, you're just doing it all the time, spending money on it.
Now I don't even know. I was talking with somebody who smokes, some coworker of mine, and he was talking about how much they cost.
Yeah, they're like $10 or $11.
My dad used to buy the cartons.
Oh yeah, me too. My dad did too.
And my mom smoked too, so they would both smoke, and they both smoked the same brand. So my dad would buy two cartons every time he went, like wherever he was buying them. And that must be like $50 now, you know. Like, oh, So
yeah, you try to get them in New Hampshire because it was like no sales tax or something. You get like the cartons of cigarettes going up to going up skiing.
It's going up skiing. Yeah, I mean, I sometimes will stop at that liquor store, but I've never bought.
You will.
Fireworks. I bought fireworks going up there. That's all. But anyways, yeah, don't smoke, kids.
Live free or die. Smoking cigarettes.
But the cigar thing, that'll just give you throat cancer. That won't give you lung cancer.
It's not so bad.
Yeah. But
all that cancer is bad. You're not Wolverine. You can't just regenerate.
No. No, I can't.
That would be a helpful superpower for you to have, I think.
Yeah. I think it would be super. Yeah, that would be the one to have. The healing.
That's the one.
But then again, would you want to live like 100, however old he is? How old is Wolverine? I guess we don't.
I'm trying to figure that out, Matt. I'm trying to figure that out. I have so many X-Men origins on my Comixology, and I dip into him every once in a while, and sometimes he's from World War II, sometimes he's from the Civil War. We don't know.
He's at least 200, whatever, right? I don't know. Who cares? But like, yeah, I don't know. Wouldn't you be kind of like depressed after a while? Like, man, this is boring.
That's the thing. That's a DC thing. Vandal Savage is like eternally old. Like, you know, he's like been around since like, you know, the gods in Greece and stuff like that.
So, oh, yeah. I mean, I guess. Thor is 1,500 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Thor's old, too.
Yeah. That's what he says. Thor's
1,500 years old.
That's what he says in, Infinity War. He says, I'm 1,500 years old.
Oh, he does?
I remember that part. He tells Rocket, him and Rocket are having that heart-to-heart. And he says, I'm 1,500 years old and I've killed twice as many enemies as that.
Matt, that is technically the MCU Thor, so we don't know what the 616 Thor, how old he is.
I'm sure they're comparable.
Yeah, probably.
But all right, since we're getting into the nerdy talk, let's open up
Wolverine, Thor, Nightwing, Batman. What do you want to talk about?
We should talk
about. Let's talk about your comic book.
Oh, Jesus, my comic.
Let's start there. That's a positive story.
It's a positive story. Our top story today. the Kickstarter was successful. Thank you to all who donated or shared or told anybody about it or did or just sent good vibes. It was pretty good. And then you know what's fun? And it's, you know, because once you make it, it's like, whew, okay. And I still had like 12 hours or so, I think, left.
Yeah, would you come after up with stretch goals or something? Or?
I didn't really have any stretch goals. That was the funny thing. And I know that's like a thing people do, but I couldn't think of anything.
You should do like live stream of me watching me stretch.
Right. I mean, like what's a stretch? Yeah, a stretch goal. I mean, I guess the incentive is to get more money, obviously, because everybody needs more money.
Right.
But I couldn't think of anything, you know, like I couldn't. Yeah, whatever. I couldn't think of anything. And so I just let it ride, and then more people came, and somebody bought like the highest reward tier after the thing was already successful.
Oh, that's nice. What do you get with that one?
You get a piece of original art.
You know, all I do is like, is there a $5 level? Is there just a share level? That's all. I'll give to yours.
But I'm really happy.
Just kidding.
I'm happy for it. Thank you, Clay. But you
I was looking on the phone. You know what though? Here's something. I was looking on the phone. I was like, I thought it was like GoFundMe or something. I was like, I know what I paid, but like, can I look to see what other people donated and whatnot? But I didn't see that list. But I was on my phone, so I was figuring maybe you can only see it on the website.
The mobile, mobile is hard. Mobile Kickstarter is kind of hard.
But is there a list of like all the names and?
I don't know if you can see that. I can see it. I can see a backer report. There's a backer report. So
we could call out some of our friends for being cheapskates. That's what I want to look at it for.
I mean, I don't think. I mean, just there kidding. Are a couple people.
I want to see who. I actually
well, here's the funny thing about Kickstarter. Now we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording. So now you can just donate as a guest. You don't have to have the account.
Right.
So the
names don't always come up. Explaining that to me, but I don't understand the advantage of doing that.
I don't know. I guess some people just don't want their name out there or whatever. Or, like, you know, one more thing to sign up for. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Oh, but just like sort of like a user interface design thing, just like because psychologically maybe people, not that people complain, just like they just try to make it easier like that.
Yeah, obviously they make it easier. Cause so if somebody were to go and be like, oh, I don't want it. I don't want
to get a thousand emails.
I don't want to get emails. I don't want my security. Maybe it's a security issue for some people. The more stuff they sign up for.
Let's say if they got like the PDF, which is like, don't you get that with everything, with every tier?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I can, but I have to send out the survey and say, where do I send the PDF?
Right.
So they still need basically to get me their email.
I was getting at, like, how do you get that person their thing if they paid for like a thing that's more than, you know, a thank you?
Well, it's also some people just donate with no reward, and you're like,
you're able to send them a survey anonymously.
Yes. Yeah.
And they can fill it out or not.
I can send it out to all backers. How do I contact you? If you need something in the mail, I need their address, obviously.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. But yeah, it's interesting though, because then I even feel like the people who just say no reward, I'm like, well, I gotta give you something, but I don't know. Hey, I get it. They don't want this shit cluttering up their house, maybe.
Or their inbox. Right?
Or their inbox.
I like spent a whole day off yesterday, like dealing with my email inbox.
Oh, I've given up on that. I have thousands of emails, and I'm just like, forget it. My Gmail, I'm looking at it right now, 2,079 emails. That's red. I mean, that's not unread. I mean, that's bold. But like, I'll never delete. I could just delete them all. But
you could start fresh.
I don't know. Is that what people do?
Yeah, that's they call it claim email bankruptcy. And then you just like select all, delete it all, and then just start. You just got to get on top of it when it starts happening again.
But like, what if there's something in there that I do want to refer back to at some point? Like it's gone.
Well,
you
could just archive it. It's Gmail. It'll just keep it on the server.
Ugh.
And then you search to find like the email from your mom
that has
stuff in it.
Oh, my mom has sent one email in her entire life.
So like, the one you want to keep.
Yeah, it said, "Hi Matt, just testing this out" or something like that.
That's so awesome.
But there's probably half of these are from you.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Or podcast, you know, like related to podcast. So. Anyways,
all right, how many of them are for me? Sort by subject, and it says "Love that Joker." Probably like 100.
I should do that. Like, all right, I don't need those. But anyways,
well, congratulations!
Yeah, but the Kickstarter made it, so that's the point of the whole thing. Thank you, everybody.
And
now
the story
is
it's issue zero, the origin story, which is a cool thing to do for comics.
Yeah, I thought it was.
They haven't
a cool
been.
Thing.
They don't do that anymore in the mainstream comics, at all. They don't
issue zero.
That was like a trend. That was just the new number one all the time, I guess.
Yeah, I guess you're right. They don't need to do zero issues because they did. They just go back to number one, and then they start it anytime they want. They're like,
they can even have like two like Black Panther number ones in the same year. Like,
yeah, how many Unbeatable Squirrel Girls did they have? They had like three number ones in a year.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not caught up on those.
Yeah, I never read any of them. I haven't read one of them. Never mind three of them.
There's a cafe in Somerville called Block 11. So over by that club, Thunder Road, and they have one of the artists that lives in Somerville worked on Squirrel Girl, and there was some pages hanging up in there, like
really?
Like old school.
Yeah,
too,
she's
like
from
pencils.
They're from Somerville.
And
they're
regular.
They're local.
Yeah, regular pencils and inks.
Nice.
You know, like you can see the pencil on the page and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet. So anyway, yeah, my comic will be here soon.
Excellent. You have it's all done. It's in the can.
Oh,
well,
it's
it were,
at or? The letterer colorist.
Okay.
He lives in the south though, so he had some issues with the hurricane.
Oh,
so.
Damn. Is everything all right?
Yeah, he's fine, but he just lost some productivity. It's not, you know, like there was nothing It wasn't like his house was flooded or anything, but he said good. He lost a couple of days. So
glad he's
I
okay.
should have it. Yeah, yeah.
People no, died.
Said, hey, don't worry about it, man. Bad. It's fine. I just wanted to, I'm just checking.
You're just like, but the Kickstarter's funded, so.
Yeah, I'm like, well, no, just checking. But it'll be here.
Excellent, man.
So, awesome. Yeah. And then I got to get to work on all that. Oh, the mailing. The mailing!
So.
My God!
You're going to have to go see Newman down to the post office.
No, I do everything. Stamps.com is yeah. actually really, really good for that. So
I don't understand a basic principle of Stamps.com. Like, how do you know how much it weighs or whatever?
What you do is you put money into it. You say, like, I'm going to add $20 or whatever to my account. And then, how much it weighs, it's based – you know, it's just like eBay. You just – you know what I mean? I know how much a comic weighs. But I also – here's another thing. I bought one of those scales, like a cheapy
– Yeah, you need scale. I think you need a scale for some.
As well. Yeah, I actually bought it last – for the last Kickstarter. So –
Nice.
5 years ago, but it still works. And I use it for most of my eBay things anyway. So unless it's flat rate, but like, so yeah, I put the comic on the scale. It's usually about like 5-6 ounces. It's not that much. And then you just say what it weighs and then boom, boom, boom. And then you print out the label.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so would you say that after issue zero comes out, is it issue zero a good jumping on point? And then when you have all the issues together, would you start someone at zero and have them read from zero to four?
I guess. I mean, you can read. It's kind of like the Star Wars movies, I suppose. I don't know. You can read. You can start
Ooh, there's
with
Jar Jar Binks in it.
No, hopefully it's better than this, but I just as far as the order. Yeah, maybe you can do one of those. What do they call that? The Phantom, whatever.
Oh, like the whatever. Not the Snyder cut.
No, but there's like a weird order.
Oh, the machete.
Machete.
Order.
Yeah,
machete
yeah,
order. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe you could do that. You could go 3, 3, 4, 2, 1, 0, whatever. I don't know. I mean, it fits in anywhere. Zero is just. It's
Are the
more
characters
of the,
a lot younger?
No. They're not. I don't. You would not enough that you would know. But I mean, it is. They are younger, but it's not like a factor. But they do
you
use.
Make them
here's
it,
a spoiler.
Like it was 1998, and like they had like puka shell necklaces on and stuff.
Well, here's a spoiler.
Yo,
you want
spoiler warning? Yeah, please.
It's more of a there is like sort of an AOL chat room aspect to the.
Oh, cool.
To the story, so use your own imagination on when this takes place, but yeah, like you remember those, right?
Yeah, I wasn't really an AIM guy. I was an AIM guy a little bit at work.
Yeah, but everybody kind of
early 2000s. It. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So this is kind of supposed to be like early 2000s.
Nice.
I guess you could say that, but not enough that people would like. Oh my God, it's completely different. You know, it's just oh yeah, look at that. I remember those chat rooms. But the funny thing is, most people thought that Robin Hood took place in the future anyway, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's supposed to be present day. It's present day, everybody. But they looked at the cover, and, like, they got these cool guns and stuff, and I think they thought they were, like, laser rifles or something.
I think also, you know, like, there's 20th Century Fox, and then you're the outlaw of the 21st century. And I think that still people think that 21st century has yet to come because it's not like 2100.
But 20th Century Fox was 20th Century was the 1900s.
No, that's, I mean, that's what I mean. I think
yeah,
people
they're wrong.
They are definitely wrong. I'm just saying it's a common misconception, like just how like kids today can't read like an analog clock, like one of those kind of things.
That's
that
true.
Not everyone knows what the centuries mean.
Yeah. I know. I probably should have thought about that. Maybe done some.
I like it. I like it. I think of your comic like, please accept this as a compliment. As like, what do they call it? Like 10 minutes in the future, like G.I. Joe is. You know, like it's not now, but like
it's now.
It's not like 10 years from now. It's just like a little bit like present to now to a little bit in the future.
I mean it. Yeah, I mean, I think the idea I had was that it could be now and it could be your town right now. Like,
yeah. now.
It could be happening now, like right now anywhere in America. But that's why I didn't make it take place. I mean, obviously, it was fun to have it take – the town is Sherwood, you know, as in the forest. But, like, it could be anywhere.
It's an alternate universe.
Well, not really. It could it's actually supposed to be our world right now. But yeah. People can read into it any way they want. I don't care. But that was a funny thing because I had a bunch of guys. My artist does other comics, and like they all wanted to group together and have like this crossover. Uh-huh. And I was like, I know it sounds like a great idea, but I don't really want to do that because I want my they all have like superpowers and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Mine has to take place. It has to be now.
Yeah, it has yours.
You know what I mean? Like, it's real. It's real. It's happening. The healthcare system is really fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, like, this isn't some, you know, like, alien planet. Like,
yeah.
This is happening now. So, whatever.
Totally. Maybe you could work on something else with those guys.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, I kind of regret it in a way because they have this really cool looking book. But no, I had to maintain, like, what I was trying to do with the book, and that is that it is now in America, like, happening now. And, yeah, we have to do something.
For sure. So
that was the plan. Anyways, nice. Enough about my book. We have other books that came out. So, okay, you said you read some Batman, you were saying, right?
I read some Batman. I think I missed one of these.
Do you have the most recent one with the foil?
Yes,
fucking cover. Thanks a lot, DC.
Those are cool.
Whatever. I'm sick of it.
You don't like it?
All right. I don't care. It's just a dumb gimmick.
It's like they're like kind of cool though.
They're cool looking, but here's my complaint.
They're not gonna do them all the time.
No, I know. But here's my complaint. This is just a minor thing, but like, you know, David Mack was doing all the Superman covers.
Yeah.
Now this month it's the fucking foil shit, so I don't get a David Mack cover. I almost didn't even buy the goddamn thing.
Jeez.
All right, no, it's not bad. It's actually, it doesn't really offend me either. It doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't offend me. It's nothing. So
you remember the lenticular cover?
Yeah, I know. I remember the lenticular, but those actually started to become like worth money after a little while, or for a little while, so like that was kind of, that became like a thing. This is just nothing because they used to do these covers all the time back in like the 90s.
Yeah,
and nobody cared about them then. But I mean, it's not offensive. But here's, I gotta ask you about, so in this, did something happen to Damien? Did this guy, this KG Beast,
no,
did I miss something?
I know what you missed, and you're pretty close, so you're right. Not off the rocker there, because it's what I wanted to talk about, which was Nightwing.
Okay.
The issue that I was in the middle of reading, the KG Beast shot Nightwing.
Oh, okay.
And so now Nightwing is, this is like, the Nightwing story is crazy because he like gets like shot like in the head and like loses his, he wakes up with amnesia, kind of, but he still knows, like, he knows his name, and he's still, like, walking around Bloodhaven, but his head is shaved, and he's just, like, kind of going crazy. And he starts...
But they think he's dead. Batman seems to think he's dead in this book.
No, he's just like, why did you fucking shoot my best friend, you know what I mean?
All right. KG Beast seems to think he's dead because he says, I took his son, like, I, whatever. So
yeah, he does think he's dead because he shot him in the head.
Right.
Okay.
If I shot someone in the head, I would assume that I got it.
Yeah. So he gets out of that. He starts driving a cab. He's just talking to everybody in town. He's just kind of like walking, like Travis Bickle, like walking around, like all crazy. And then he's just like, no, call me Rick. That's like Rick. The big reveal. Instead of, because his name's Richard Grayson.
Right. He's always been Dick.
And like, he's like trying to piece together his memories. And stuff only comes back to him when he's dreaming. And then when all his flashbacks to like when he was with Batman, with Batgirl and Alfred and his parents and stuff, like he's reliving all that stuff in his dreams, but when he wakes up, he can't remember anything. He's like,
That's interesting.
By the time, so that was issue 50. And interestingly, this was written by Ben Percy, who wrote Green Arrow. I interviewed him. He's really cool. So he wrote issue 50, which is oversized thing where Dick's walking around all crazy and like everybody kind of misses him. They're trying to reconnect with him. Like, you know, Barbara keeps showing up and he's like, Barbara, where are you here? He's like, you call me Babs. So, like, she's like, you don't remember anything? And they're like, no. And then the next issue, issue 51, somebody else writes it. It's like Scott Lobdell. So maybe that was, I don't know, Percy's last issue or something.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think it's, and maybe it's, yeah, Fabian Nicieza, the other.
Yeah.
You know that guy.
I do. Yeah. He's been around forever.
Yeah, he co-created Deadpool, I think. Right. So he's like the... says Scott Lobdell plot, Fabian additional script. So they worked on it together, I guess. And then so Dick Grayson, like, he knows about Nightwing. He knows it's part of his thing. He has all his costumes, like, in glass cases and stuff. And then, you know, he's driving a cab. It's, like, so weird. He's so rich. He has, like, a ton of money from Batman. But, like, he's driving a cab on the side. It's just, like, really bizarre. And he's, like, hanging out in a bar. He's hanging out in a bar that's, like, Josie's bar in Daredevil. You know, just, like, bad people are hanging out there and stuff all the time. Then he decides, like, all right, I'm Rick now, and I think I know what Nightwing is. And I need to, I need to go clean up this city. And he pulls out a gun. So now he's going, like, anti-Batman style. He, like... accidentally kill somebody like that that is trying to rob him in his cab, and he punches him in the face, knocks him over, and fucking kills him. And now he's like a killer, and he has a gun. It's the craziest thing ever.
that sounds kind of like a Travis Bickle sort of thing.
So I mean, they did this thing with Nightwing where they made him Grayson, like the super agent,
right?
And you know, like it's almost like they're always like reinventing him because they kind of have to. He's like kind of like a little long in the tooth. This is a pretty interesting way
like
to do
baby
it.
Baby Batman, you know, in a way he's kind of like, well, you know, like I'm Batman Jr. You know, like sometimes. Yeah. So it's good that they kind of do different stuff with him.
And like essentially, like I always feel like the essence of the character, is still there. Like he hates being Batman, being told what to do and all this shit, you know? Like, so now he's really going to be his own man.
Oh, yeah.
But I imagine, you know, probably Batman will have to come in and tell him to stop using guns.
Well, Batman's a little busy right now. So he's, in this issue, he went to Russia to hunt down, well, he's first, it's kind of like one of those hunting type issues because he's going around, he's beating up criminals, he's asking this KG Beast is. And then interspersed with that is this kind of interesting story where this KG Beast guy is having like a drink with his dad who used to beat him.
Yep. Yep.
And then he ends up shooting the dad in the head, thinking like, you got nothing on me now. Like, I'm better than you. I'm this deadly assassin with a gun hand, by the way.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So anyways.
I know. He's dad. Well, he was even in, I don't remember him losing his arm at all, but he's in Batman vs. Superman, the movie. There's a version of, that's, I think, who Dolph Lundgren plays in the Arrow TV show. So they use KG Beast like a lot, but yeah, I don't remember him losing his arm ever.
Well, he explains in this issue that Batman had him tied up and the only way he could get away was to cut off his arm. So he cut off his own arm. Mm. And his dad is kind of
a jerk. Okay.
He's like, so he took your arm, and you took his son, which now I know is he's talking about Dick Grayson.
Yeah,
but
which,
like,
is the last page of issue 55.
And then he says, he's like, what good is a son? He's like, I think Batman still has one up on you. He's like, I said, what good is a son? He's talking to his own son. So that's kind of why, I mean, I think he was going there anyway, but KGB is like, all right, I've had it with you, old man, and just blows him away. So this issue ends. Batman is, he's walking, he's he's trudging through the snow because they're in like the middle of like
Russia.
Yeah, it was
Russia. Like Rocky IV, like kind of thing.
Yeah, it was. And he and like Alfred is like, you're too far away. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Like I'm losing you. And the, Alfred like peters out. So it's basically gonna. And he's like walking towards the door of this guy's like cabin in the middle of nowhere. And the guy's got the gun on because he knows he can hear Batman like trudging through the snow. Yeah. And so it's, they're building up to a real confrontation here. And
good like fight, real yeah. good fight. Like this is a really good issue.
Pretty good issue, yeah. I like the different
the last,
thing.
I basically there was some humor in it, the last too? 3, 55, 56, 57. Yeah. Yeah, Tom King's real good.
There's some, yeah, it's funny, you know, who's that guy, who, the kind of, like, old carny-looking guy that has Batman, like, tied up upside down? And Batman is actually just like still asking him for information.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where is this KGB?
Yeah, he and like kind of goes like, through the motions where he's like, oh, yeah. "I'll let this guy tie me up so I can get to yeah, him." You
so
know,
we could talk a little bit. And then when Batman finally like gets the information, he headbutts the guy or whatever. Oh, it's really funny. It's
that was funny too because you said that you're like, I don't know who that guy is. I didn't know either. And when I was reading it, I was like, I'm gonna look that guy up because I don't remember him.
Oh,
but okay. He's got to be like. He's just probably like one of those like a Silver Age villain. BC yeah. villains, yeah.
But then he's like, the guy even says like he kind of realizes that Batman like had him, and he's like, "Do you want me to untie you?" And Batman's like, "Nah, I got it."
Yeah, like, nah, yeah, that was funny.
So anyway, fun stuff. Now, and, thank you for clearing that up. That yeah, was if, my only real confusion there. It's like, what did he do? Did he kill
if
Danny?
If you read, if you go back and read 55, I remembered whereabouts, you know, Nightwing gets shot. Classic, like, Commissioner Gordon turns the bat signal on, and they, like, for some reason, you know, I think Dick is, like, trying to make him forget about Catwoman or something, so he's, like,
right.
he's yeah, patrolling out with him.
Yeah, that was a fun issue, too. Yeah, they were.
He's patrolling out with him. They have this contest where it's, like, first person to shoot your grappling hook when flying off the building loses, and right. the bat symbol like turns on. They were both, falling for a long time. I have this long conversation over, you know, but the bat symbol turns on. And then he's like, haha, old man, I win. But he sees that Batman is going to see the commissioner.
Right.
And then the three of them are on the roof. And that's when KJ Beast is like across the way, like in the book that's depository right. and shoots Dick in the head.
Yeah, I think I did forget that. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I only just read it this morning. So, and I read
it like a while ago.
I heard all this crazy stuff about Nightwing. I think it was probably like on iFanboy or people just talking about it online. I was like, oh, dude, I got to read that. So, 50
so
and 51.
So, it happened in Batman, but obviously in Nightwing's book, there.
Yeah, Nightwing, it says like asterisks, go read issue 55. Because I'm blending them in together a little bit. But yeah, I think Nightwing is when they reveal. You know, that he had a bullet in his head and they show the x-rays and him recovering and, you know, like.
Yeah, it's weird that there's kind of a time jump. I guess they're kind of assuming that you're going to go read Nightwing.
Yeah.
Because I forgot, first I kind of forgot that and now, like, it seems like it's, I don't know. Like, there's no, like, previously, you know.
Yeah.
Or whatever, but. I guess we figured it all out now.
I did, and good stuff. Together. You know. Nightwing and Batman and a bunch of different writers doing something that's not exactly a crossover, but the two books are dealing with each other nicely.
Yeah. Based I like on past that. Events. I like, it's kind of like, you know, I remember back in the day when I was like a kid, when like Captain America would be doing something and they would kind of like talk about it in the Avengers or and sometimes they would do something like in the Avengers book. That related to it, you know, that kind of stuff.
And old Batman detective and Nightwing comics did the same thing too. Like one, like a big thing would affect the other stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess that's how comics work anyways, but like,
I know, but I feel like more it's been like a while they really did it.
Like just smoothly transition. Yeah. You could read either one. You don't need to read both. It's better if you read both cause you see like this whole big story.
Right.
And it's good when you get the writers to line up and fucking agree.
Yeah. Well, sometimes when they do it, it seems like it's just a way because they want people to buy the other book, but sometimes it's just a good story. So
I'm not crazy about Nightwing having a gun, but I like that they gave him one to see like where that goes, and then that'll fade into the past when they do something else with him later, you know?
Yeah, and start over number one again.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me say, I don't know if you're still buying. Of course, this is one of my favorite books going right now is this David Mack, Brian Bendis book cover.
I have a confession to make to you. Please don't be offended. I am not reading any of those books, and I don't
really. They're pretty good.
I think maybe I'll. And another way I can phrase that is, I think I'll read them in trade, like when there's more.
That's totally fine.
Because I don't know anything.
There's only going to be like six. I think they're only like six issues each. It's not a huge.
I just don't have a way in. I try the number ones, and I just okay.
Like, well, if you don't like it, it's fine.
Yeah, no, I'll try it. I'll read it all together.
You just don't have to be friends anymore.
I do love that David Mack art, though. Woo! Wow, yeah. He's the best. Maliva is great, too.
Yeah, no, it's so funny to me that I can't read it and not think about, like, these two guys traveling the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and, like, having this idea.
It's like the fantasy.
I can't separate it. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Like I can't separate in my when I'm reading this, I'm thinking about these guys.
Like, yeah, and totally. Ooh. Like, for us nerds, it's like that's so aspirational too. It's like I wish I was with those guys. You know, traveling through cons and selling.
I know. Like, doing art and stuff. Yeah, and you think that you're not important. So let me tell you. Let me just get into like the. So this is kind of he's getting in. The guy, the main guy, he's getting interrogated. He's tied up in a chair, and they're like, "What happened in Istanbul or whatever?" I guess it was Istanbul, yeah. So he's like,
"Not Constantinople."
So then he's telling the story. So if you remember, he was approached at a con by this woman who's like, and she was a fan, but then she was also works for the government and whatever. So she wants him to be like a secret agent. So like she's kind of starting to bring him in. She says, "This is your cover," which is, of course, the name of the book. So, like, you're a cover.
And he goes, "Ah, I see what I did there.
Yes. Cover. Maybe I'll name the book that." No, so anyways, so she says, "You've been invited to this big convention, and you're going to meet with, like, the president, because he's a big fan." And she's like, "Give him this." And it's like an old, like, tchotchke thing from a comic that he wrote. It's like a rare, you know, whatever. It's like, I don't know. I had bottle openers for Robin Hood. Yeah, so like whatever it is, yeah, it's like something from the book. It's a little piece of, it's like a toy thing, whatever. And she says, "Just give him this and he'll, you know, it's great." It turns out it's like not even a camera. It's almost a more of like it just can sense everything in the room, you know. And so it's like a spying device, a bug or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "What? Like, I can't." He's like, "I can't believe you gave me a bug to put in that guy's eye." And she's like, "It's the perfect cover. Don't worry. Like, you're doing great." So, but it's pretty. But then, of course, we don't know how he got captured because he's telling the story of, you know, getting captured. But there's also kind of some sexual tension there because she's telling him like how much she actually is a fan of his work. And it's like, you know, people don't really read anymore. It really bothers. And she goes into this kind of nice explanation about like what reading does, like stuff like that. Yeah, it's really good. I really like it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. But it's funny. Like I said, I can't separate it's not like reading Batman. You know what I mean? You're like, look at this, I'm reading about David Mack and Brian Bendis, like traveling the world.
I've been watching some, you know, like he does little interviews and stuff. He looks good. He like lost like all his weight, you know.
Really?
Doing well. Yeah.
So. And Pearl, I'm liking Pearl too. I know you haven't been reading, but Pearl is on issue 3. That's getting like a real Kill Bill kind of vibe if you like those movies, especially the first one.
Which I do. Why, you don't like the second one?
No, I like the second one, but it doesn't. It has a different vibe. Like, it's a totally.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you were just talking about the vibe. You were like, you know, not like that crappy Kill Bill 2.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Actually, I really like the second
one.
No,
I just, I don't know why I interpreted that when you were saying that.
No, I
they're both great.
Yeah, no, they are.
The first, one has like the animation in it, right?
Yeah, and it's kind of more just like a kung fu slice them up. Like, and this one is, the second one is kind of just, I love the stuff with Michael Madsen and the, you know, like he's the guy that like kind of, even though he's like this drunk old, you know, guy.
Yeah.
You'd think he would be the lead, but he's the one who like shoots her and puts her in the coffin in the ground. She gets out, you know, and Michael Madsen eventually is killed. But like, I don't know. I just like that aspect of it. It's really good. And I love, of course, Bill is great. And that whole scene where he talks about Superman.
Yeah.
Like, his secret identity is Clark Kent because he sees us as, like, weak and small and nerdy. You know, he makes – that was a great thing there. So anyways, but yeah, Pearl has a very much Kill Bill 1 vibe, I think. Cause it, and it's got a lot of – the colors are really dynamic and
nice.
There's something weird, you know. I mean, she's got this freaky tattoo. There's a great page here, though, where she shoots a guy through the hand, and you see it through the hole in the hand. It's just a great full page spread.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Of the hole in the guy's hand, and it's her with the gun. So yeah, it's Kill Bill and Atomic Blonde kind of rolled into one. So
which I've yet recommend. To see. Still, I don't know why.
God, I just damn keep, it.
We have too much stuff to watch, but I know Stacey wants to see that as much as I do.
It's on all the movie channels now. Like, it's on HBO, like, constantly. So if you have HBO Go.
Yeah, whatever, I think it's in there. I keep seeing it in there and be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just watch that. It's a good time.
Instead, what I did was I bought Adam's Family Values the other day and watched that. Oh, no, I was like, it's almost Halloween. Woo.
It is. I actually haven't watched. I've been busy. I haven't done any sort of Halloween. I haven't watched a scary movie or anything, but oh well. I'm busy on Halloween. I got other things to worry about on that day.
Things.
Yeah. All right. Y'all want to talk about one more book here? Or do you want to, do you got anything you want to?
Well, I'm sort of a, like, let's skip around. You'd say what you read that's recent, and I'll go back to as far as Return of Wolverine.
Oh.
You know, like.
Well, let me tell you something that came out this week that I think is kind of interesting. And it actually made comic book news, you know. So now with the movie coming out, it seems like they're kind of retconning the original origin of Captain Marvel. And they're changing it up to make it less dependent on the male Captain Marvel. In fact, that's what they want. That's just what they're. They didn't want their big feminist superhero, I guess. I guess I can't even use the word heroine anymore, right? It's not their big, like, feminist icon superhero to be, like, created because she got her powers from the male Captain Marvel, I guess. I don't know if that's true. That's the theory, okay? I shouldn't say that. That's the theory that I read. Anyway, point being, so the series is going on. It's called The Life of Captain Marvel, and she goes home, and she's visiting her mom and all this stuff. So her mom is actually a Kree alien thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, she's not a human. She's a Kree. She's been living on Earth, like, all these years. Originally, she came here as a kind of like a – she was supposed to be like a, I don't know, a warrior. She was here to just kind of scout out Earth. She crash-landed. She met this guy, they fell in love. They had Carol Danvers, who like was born with, you know, Kree warrior powers, mm-hmm. and like, but she couldn't really do anything. And then, so now she says whatever that machine was that her, she says her, the powers came from, you know, Captain Marvel and whatever. And her mom said, no, the power, that thing activated your powers. They were already there. So, whatever. But they're, you know, they're just trying to make her more dependent on her own, you know, I mean, like, give her own origin.
That's fine, I guess. I just, I wish there was someone could sell me on the Superman idea of like what makes her the most powerful. Is it because she has Kree things?
Kree blood?
Yeah. But like would a Kree be that powerful on Earth?
I don't know if it's like a Red Sun thing. I don't think so. They never mention anything like that.
Yeah.
It just, you know, she just has powers. She's just powerful.
But she's as powerful as Superman. You're saying. That's
I don't know. I never said that.
That's what you're saying. No, I thought that's the Omega level power that she
was. That's what people are saying. People are, and they, for the movie, they're saying she's the most powerful one of them all. I think that's just a fun little sales pitch. I don't think it's, I mean.
Do you think
I don't know,
she could beat up Sentry?
I don't know. Maybe. They've never really shown. It's funny, because they do say that. They say, oh, she's like the most powerful hero. But we've never seen, I guess, the limits of her powers, or if they're limitless or whatever. But
she doesn't have a kryptonite.
No, she doesn't have a kryptonite.
Unless she's really into chocolate mousse. Then she'd be like, chocolate mousse is my kryptonite.
Maybe.
I'm just going to sit here and eat this whole bowl.
Well, she did have – so, like, the reason in this series why she went home because her dad was, like, became, like, a drunk and, you know, like, died under, you know, like, whatever. Because he was an alcoholic and I don't know. I forget if it was just – he just was drunk and got liver cancer or he drove – whatever it was, but he died from it. And she was – it was like a – she was fighting with the other Avengers – like on Father's Day, and she had some kind of like panic attack, and just so she had to take some time away, she said. So like, yeah, it's, I don't know what that means specifically, but like, yeah, I mean, she's not invulnerable, I guess, because she does have like regular human emotions and stuff. She's you know,
but yeah,
anyways, that's the cool. Point is, I'm pretty sure because of the movie they're changing the origin. That's all I'm saying.
That's fine, though, right? Like,
yeah, who cares? They do it all the time.
Yeah, I can say I don't care because I don't really care about Captain Marvel, really. So
right.
If they change her origin and make it a little bit more friendly to people they want to go see it, I don't really care. Don't get these Comicsgate people after us for saying we approve of that.
I don't. I'm not. I'm just reporting it. I'm not saying I like it or not, okay? We're just reporting the news.
Yeah, we're just the news.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, like, when I originally heard of, when I originally read it, I was like, oh boy, here they go, mucking with the origins. But, I mean, they want to make it a little more, they probably want to make it a little more, like, you know, friendly.
And she isn't, like you said. Like, you know, and wasn't, there's like a history of that sort of like in the MCU, like where, you know, like, is this Scott Pym like an abusive husband and stuff? You know what I mean? Like, so they didn't talk Hank about Pym. That.
Hank Pym.
Hank Pym.
Yeah, he did slap the Wasp around.
See, like, they don't talk about that in the old.
No, they movies. Don't talk anymore. No. No, I know. They don't. You can keep them completely separate. I mean, they are different. Not really different, I guess. But I mean,
well, my Thor is older than 1,500 years old. In my head canon.
I don't know. But it's fine. They whatever. Fine. Yeah. But that's what they're doing.
Oh, very well to that.
Very well. So what else you got over there?
Some stuff that I read, I guess I'll just talk about the best ones that I saw was are you still reading Ye Old Superman? Oh wait, did I read this one? Yeah, I did. Superman 4, the one with the foil cover.
I haven't read the foil cover one yet. Oh, no.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. They're trying to get Earth out of the Phantom Zone, that one. This is kind of a throwback Thursday. This came out a while ago, but I finally sat down and read The Return of Wolverine. Number one. Okay. Did you get that book?
I did.
Did you like how it was basically like looked like Barry Windsor Smith drew it.
The art was very good.
Do you have any
opinions? I don't even remember what happened. What the hell happened?
He sort of wakes up in a Weapon X kind of lab, and then he sort of fights his way out of there, and some girl explains to him that he's Wolverine and that, you know, he's
He couldn't remember anything. Yeah.
And then there were different.
They did like the different costume thing.
And they did have. I did kind of like the dream sequence because they were like, "Here's a key," but in this jail are all the different versions of you and like all of the different. I don't know if Storm's in there for some reason, but then there's Weapon X, there's Cyclops, so it's like just all his memories. Like, here's a key to unlock your memories.
Yeah,
but that was like a cool like flashback thing. And then he gets a new costume at the end, which I don't hate it, but I don't love it. It's like black with red piping on it. And Declan Shalvey was at New England Comics Prime, and he said he designed this costume. I was looking for his credit in here. They didn't say that, but he's going to be drawing the new Wolverine ongoing. So, so that's pretty
cool. God knows when that's coming out, because I just read that issue 3 and 4 of Return of Wolverine have been delayed.
Oh, really? Because probably takes McNiven like 1,000 years to draw this. And I don't know. Yeah. Hey, man, I like what I like. Not 100% of what Charles Soule does, but I like a lot of it, man. I like a lot of it. I'm glad Wolverine's back because he's one of my favorites.
I know. I'm glad too. I mean, I didn't read the death of Wolverine because I thought it was just some lame thing that, you know, whatever. But they did keep him dead for a while.
Oh, a long time, yeah.
And now he's back. But, like, it's good that he's back because, you know, he's a mainstay. He's an A-lister. You kind of – and I know they had Old Man Logan, but I kind of – I don't know this. I kind of hope they get rid of him now that regular Wolverine comes back. You know what I mean? Like, you don't think we need old Wolverine.
It wanted, there was, like, a toy or a statue ad in one of these issues like that I was reading. It was like here's his first appearance costume, and then they're like, here's like, you know, it was like the orange brown, like the Claremont era X-Men, and then there was like modern yellow and blue,
right?
And then they had to fucking stick Old Man Logan in there, and it was like,
I know.
it was like Wolverine 2008, and like, yeah, and there's already been a movie, and like, when we complain about that now, it's a little
too late, the movie was great. Like,
it was, and maybe you like the movie and you buy that, maybe you buy that statue.
Yeah,
you love the movie or something. I don't know,
but I don't know. Some people like Old Man Logan. I don't care. I thought it was a great like 6-part series.
It was great.
Know? Like, it was a great. Fun story. Old Man Logan. Eight. Whatever. How many fucking issues it was.
Yeah.
It was great. And then, you know.
Then they made it.
Then they brought him in, and I just was like, all right, now I don't. Whatever. Now they're just making old man jokes about him.
Yeah. But ignoring that bullshit, the Old Man Hawkeye. Are you still reading the this?
Yeah. Old Man Hawkeye's very good.
Is your issue 9?
I don't remember. I probably did, but I don't. It was probably you're way behind, Clay.
I am, but these are at least the most recent books that I've that I bought. I just because I went to Comic Con and stuff, I didn't have any time to read.
Sorry, I forgot. How was Comic Con?
Oh, it was great, very well. It was quick though. I was just down there for Thursday and Friday.
I got in
and got out, saw some DC Universe stuff, went to a Geoff Johns panel. That was cool. But yeah, just. It was good. But in this Old Man Hawkeye, Bullseye is still hot on the geezer's trail.
Well, yeah. I like that they have they brought in Kate Bishop. That was a fun little ad.
And so. Bullseye, you know, is using Deathlok
like tech armor
to replace his eye. So he uses that, and he zooms in on Clint, and he, like, the Deathlok thing, like, does, like, a tricorder scan, and it's, like, glaucoma detected. He's like, oh, you're blind.
Yeah, he's
my pleasure to be blue.
And this is his, like, sort of last hurrah, he says. And he wants to get revenge on the Thunderbolts, basically.
Yeah.
For, because apparently, like, when all the Avengers were killed in that universe, they turned on, like, the Thunderbolts were, they thought they were all good guys, and they turned on the Avengers and killed them all. And so Hawkeye, they were like his kids, and he feels responsible. So
yeah. I don't know. This is kind of...
And apparently they killed Black Widow. They kind of were insinuating some stuff going on between Hawkeye and Black Widow. So, yeah. Anyways, sorry. What were you saying?
I was going to say, this can't last. This has got to end at like 12 issues or something, right? It's got to be
It's going to end pretty soon, I think.
I'm just noticing something cool on the cover, because it's like he's throwing cards like Gambit would throw. And there's like just playing cards, and one there's a V, and there's a Venom on there. One there's a Hawkeye with an arrow pointing up, a Red Skull, and then Kate. Oh, Kate's the Queen, but it says K on the card. It's just like a really good cover.
Yeah, no, the art and the covers, everything is great about that. Very well.
And did I tell you? Did we talk about it on the 350 that I saw Venom on my birthday?
I don't know if we talked about it. We talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it on the show. You told me not a good birthday present for yourself.
It was what they call in the business rough business. I just don't understand why they made that movie at all. And Tom Hardy's cool, and even, you know, like Venom is cool, and the special effects are cool, and the big fights are cool. But it was like as dumb as. Like a Transformer movie,
as I think it is. Someone told me that it's, if you look at it as like a Sam Raimi, like Evil Dead kind of like goofy movie, it's not bad. But I don't know. I kind of feel like they were maybe just trying to justify them. You know,
like. I guess it wasn't as nearly as clever or funny about it. And the guy that plays the bad guy is really like. He plays it like way over the top, and that I didn't like. He was way too much, even for a bad guy.
The movie just looked. It just looks so. And then, honestly, Venom. I don't mind him as like a character. Well, I didn't mind like as Spider-Man's nemesis. I liked Venom. I thought he was cool. The Venom Lethal Protector bit. I don't know. I'm not as huge a fan of that. You know, and they've gone all crazy. There's so many different. Symbiotes now and everything,
right?
And
yeah, that's, you know, what they're going for with this thing.
Is like
Venom 2 has like, you know, three or four different colors of symbiotes, because they have like these, like, you know, containers. You've probably seen them in the trailer where that's like all filled with the goop inside of it, like the symbiote in there. So they have like all those, and there's like a red one and a yellow one and a blue one, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
just really wish it would have. Even, you know what? It probably would have cheapened it out if they even tried to like tie it into like Spider-Man Homecoming or something. Like, that probably would have made it somehow worse, because it's just like, I don't want to even think of that having anything to do with.
But I mean, it's so silly to do Venom without Spider-Man. But whatever,
it is.
It doesn't do.
And I mean, what's cool if you did Venom. The right way, which I mean in like Infinity War 2, you know, like Tom Holland, like they have to go into some Guardians of the Galaxy space planet, and his uniform gets ripped and he needs a new uniform, and you start it there. That would be
maybe.
Right.
That would have been better.
And then it eventually gets to Eddie
Brock. And then you get to Eddie Brock. Right. I don't like, you know what I don't like too? I've never really been a fan of the way he like talks to the thing, and the thing goes, "Eddie, I don't," like in the comics. In the comics, I always gave the symbiote like a whiny voice for some reason.
In this one, he has a
because it always seems like whiny. I know he's like
he has like a Christian Bale, like, you know, Batman. Whoa, Eddie. That's not that actually isn't that bad Yeah, like the way
I know. That, I mean, the comics I never liked.
No, it, I mean like but. The way they execute. They have the symbiote like talk to Eddie and like tell him he has to do stuff. And make it like that. Actually, like there's some well written dialogue in there, and they're like have a little banter between the two of them, and then they like go yell at this guy next door that's like playing his guitar like at 4 a.m. and like. You know, he totally venoms out and, like, scares the shit out of the guy. And he's like, no problem, man. Like, there was, like, some cool stuff in there. Like, there were some scenes. But you could probably cut it down to, like, a half an hour.
Like a TV show.
Yeah.
Make it like a sitcom, maybe.
Had to do it, though. It was my birthday. We saw Blade Runner 2049 on my birthday last year when we went down there. And we saw it on a huge IMAX. And it was awesome.
Oh, nice.
And then we did that nice. This time. RPX 3D crazy Venom thing. So, you know, sit and watch a movie. Out. It wasn't like, I didn't have a terrible time. I was on vacation and I was watching a movie, but I was just like, yeah.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I don't know why they needed to make this, really.
Well, you know, it's so funny. Everybody tells me, like, because they know I'm the comic book guy, and they're like, did you see Venom? I'm like, no, I'm not rushing out to see
skip
Venom.
That. Yeah, I mean, could probably skip that one.
I'll see it eventually, but it's not like opening night. I really need to see this.
Right.
So, yeah. But, hey, whatever.
Oh, what can God. You do, huh? What can you do?
All right. People keep calling me here. Anyways, we can wrap up, though. I think we've covered everything.
Covered everything.
Very well. But,
is there anything exciting I'm not reading that you wanted to bring up? Or?
Well, I already told you about Cover and Pearl and all that stuff.
Okay.
Not
really,
no.
Okay.
Never mind.
I won't do
I
it.
I can't think of anything else, really.
You know, I won't turn a blind eye to it. If those are the two, there's like he has like four series, right? If you say those are the best ones, I'll read those.
Those are my favorite. He's got Scarlet and the United States of Murder really Incorporated, which I haven't read that one. I have the issues, but I haven't read them. But.
Okay, Cover and Pearl. I'll check it out.
Cover and Pearl are pretty good, but
well,
you know, it's fine. Pearl is already halfway done. If you just want to wait 3 more months for the trade, that's totally fine with me. So
nice. Well, congrats again on the Kickstarter, my Jamie.
Thank you. Thanks for your help.
Yeah,
and keep your eyes open for the the surveys and stuff, people. And, We'll talk to everybody soon.
Thanks to you, Lady Fox.
Lady Fox. Now wait for me. Please hang around. I'll see you when I fall asleep. Don't listen to a word I say. The screams all sound the same. Though the truth may vary, this shit will kill you. Safe to shore. Though the truth may vary, this ship will carry our body safe to shore.
Matt, that is technically the MCU Thor, so we don't know what the 616 Thor, how old he is.